This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we move on with our series on paradise. Ibn al-Jawzi, or Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, his Had al-Arwah is what we're covering. So we are on another section which speaks about the fact that people in paradise will also be given crowns to wear. This will be a gesture of honor. That's why there's a hadith that's related by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, recite, actually learn, ta'allamu, learn Surah Al-Baqarah. Because learning it is a blessing, having it, acquiring it. فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا barakah. To acquire it is a barakah, it's a blessing. وَتَرْكُهَا حَسْرَةً وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. And if you abandon it, it's a loss. You'll do well to learn it, and if you don't learn it, then it will be a source of great loss for you. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةِ. Even the strongest of people, the strongest of forces rather in this case, batal, strongest, bravest, most evil of forces cannot overcome it, cannot penetrate through it. Then the Prophet ﷺ remained silent for a while. Then he said, learn Surah Al-Baqarah. Learn Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, because they are both flowers. And they will provide a shade for their reciters, for their knowers, for people who know those surahs on the Day of Judgment, as though they are clouds, or they are some kind of shade among birds. You know, when they give you something gives you a shade above you, likewise these surahs will give you a shade. In fact, the Quran will meet a person and confront a person on the Day of Judgment as soon as the earth opens up and reveals the person. When a person is resurrected, the first thing to see the person and confront the person will be the Quran. Like a person who's looking for you, he will say, هل تعرفني? He'll say to us, inshallah, do you know me? And the person, ma'arifuk, I don't know you. He says, I'm the Quran. I'm the one that used to quench you in the heat of noon. I used to quench you, your thirst, meaning you used to recite me. And I used to be the one who used to keep you up at night in the Tahajjud prayer. And for everybody who's done business, who's traded, he has something from behind his from his trade. And today you are also have something left over from your trade. So he will be given kingdom in his right, and he will be given permanence in his left. And then وَيُوضَعُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ تَاجُ الْوَقَارِ. The crown of waqar, of awe, of respect, will be placed on his head. And not just him, this is his barakah, but وَيُكْسَى وَالِدَاهُ حُلَّتَيْنِ لَا تَقُومُ لَهُمَا الدُّنْيَا. His parents will be given garments, a set of garments each, which is more valuable than the world. So even if you can't make your children hafiz of the entire Quran, from this we understand that you will be given garments, special garments to wear, you know, something special, if they at least learn Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. InshaAllah. They will say, Bima kusina hada, why are we given these garments? Why have we been garbed with this? Bi akhdhi waladikuma al-Qur'an. It's because your child, he acquired the Qur'an. And then after that, it will be said to the one who learnt the Qur'an himself, Iqra' wasa'ad fi darajil jannah wa ghurafiha. You just read. You just read now and continue to climb in the steps or levels of Jannah and its various chambers. And فَهُوَ فِي سُعُودٍ مَا دَامَ يَقْرَأ. He will continue to ascend as long as he continues to read. هَذَّنْ كَانَ أَوْ تَرْتِيلًا. Whether he recites slowly or fast, it doesn't make a difference. So that is the hadith which tells us that you will be given crowns to wear on that day, a crown of awe on that day. The next chapter is chapter 51. In this one, he discusses the tents that will be there for the people of paradise. Their raised couches, their thrones, their special canopies and chambers. There's quite a few things that have been mentioned, as all of these things will be placements of honor that the person will be given. So let's start from Surah Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. These are these maidens that will keep their gazes restricted to themselves, who will be in these tents, khiyam. Khiyam, khayma. So we understand that there's a general idea of a tent here, but a tent of paradise is going to be something very different than what you can just spring up, you know, one of those temporary tents that you put up, or whether it's a leather tent or the best tent of this world, whatever it may be. In Bukhari, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, there's a hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, which says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a believer in paradise will have a khaymah, a tent, made out of a single pearl. One pearl, hollowed out pearl. So this is a different kind of tent. Mujawwafa. Tuluha sittuna meelan. Its length is 760 miles. Lilmu'mini fiha ahloon. And for the believer in there will be partners, spouses. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فَلَا يَرَى بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. And he will go and visit each one, and they would not have seen each other. So this is some amazing warren of a tent made out of a pearl. It's just beyond this world. They explain that وَهَذِي الْخِيَامُ غَيْرُ الْغُرَفِ وَالْقُسُورِ. These tents are recreational. These are different. They're not the palaces and the major chambers that you will be given. That's a whole different story. This is somewhere else. And you know, when you look at luxury living in this world, you don't remain in one place. If you look at the Queen, for example, sometimes she's in Windsor, sometimes she's in Buckingham Palace. Right now, I think she had gone to spend her was it Sapphire Jubilee or something like this? Up in, where was it, Norwich, around Norfolk or somewhere. So they go to different places, they have these different places. You can afford that kind of a thing. So these will be recreational places. It says that, بَلْ هِيَ خِيَامٌ فِي الْبَسَاتِينَ. These will be the so-called tents in the orchards of Jannah. وَعَلَى شَوَاطِئِ الْأَنْهَارِ. And on the banks of your rivers of paradise. So this is just, you move around here. Ibn Abi Dunya relates. He says that, he relates with his chain to Abu Sulaiman, who says that this Hurul Ain will be created for him. They are a special creation in paradise created for the people. فَإِذَا تَكَامَلَ خَلْقُهُنَّ. When they have been fully formed and created, ضَرَبَتْ عَلَيْهِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ الْخِيَامِ. Then they are placed in these tents. Once the angels do this, once they've been created, then the angels place upon them these tents. So they're placed in these tents from before. This is what these tents are made for them. And both the tents and the maidens are for the people of paradise. So it's the same thing. Ibn Abi Dunya has another narration from Masruq, from Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, saying that لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ خِيرًا. Every Muslim will have this maiden. Every maiden will have a tent. Every tent will have four doors. And from every one of these four doors, these are doors of honor. You don't need four doors, but these are doors of honor, in the sense that every day from each one of these doors, various different gifts and honorable items will be brought in that they'd never seen before. لا مريحات ولا ذفيرات ولا بخيرات ولا طماحات. These maidens inside will have these four qualities. They will not be marihat, which means that they will not be arrogant and conceited. You know, the most beautiful person you can have, they look so beautiful, so handsome, so dignified, but if they're arrogant, it just spoils everything. It spoils everything. These people will have no arrogance. They will be free of that. Dhafirat, no smell, no bodily odors, nothing to put you off. And bakhirat means no smelly mouth, no bad odors from the mouth. So no internal bad smell, no internal odors, and no external body odors. And above all, they are just for you. And that's why it says, طماحات, إِمْرَأَةٌ طَمَّاحَ, means the one that doesn't look right or left, fully fixated, and their gaze is completely upon their spouse and nobody else. So you got no risk. Because when you generally have somebody so great, then people feel that somebody will scratch their car, right? Somebody will do something else. There's a risk in this world because nothing is permanent. So if you don't lose it, if it doesn't expire itself, somebody else may take it. But no, these are entirely for you. All of these fully. حُورٌ عِينٌ كَأَنَّهُنَّ بِيضٌ مَكْنُونَ. These are the fair maidens of paradise as though they are hidden. White, hidden. Meaning, not hidden, concealed, especially for you. Especially concealed for you. There's another narration from Abu al-Ahwas. He relates from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. He defines that as durrum mujawwaf, which means that hollowed out pearl. So there's no normal tent here. These are tents forever. They're not going to be made of tarpaulin or something, or plastic. There's another narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. He describes it. He says, الْخَيْمَةُ مِنْ دُرَّةٍ مُجَوَّفَةٍ طُولُهَا فَرْسَخْ. That these tents are made out of a hollowed out pearl whose length is a farsakh, a furlong. وَعَرَضُهَا فَرْسَخْ. Its width, it's also the same. وَلَهَا أَلْفُ بَابٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ. Says it has 1,000 doors of gold. Maybe this is another one of the tents. 1,000 doors of gold. حَوْلُهَا سُرَادِكْ دَوْرُهُ خَمْسُونَ فَرْسَكًا يَدْخُرْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهَا مَلَكٌ بِهَدِيَّةٍ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Same thing. That, or it's possible that first it was known that it would be a four-door tent, and then it was understood that there's going to be a lot more doors. But unless you say every one has four doors, but he's got many, 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 so then it could be a combination of all of them all. And this, the fact that each one of those doors from which angels will enter with hadiyah, this is also referred to in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. And the angels will enter upon them from every door. So which doors are we speaking about here? So these are these doors of honor in the tents, that you will be there enjoying, reclining, enjoying yourself, and there the angels will be coming in with gifts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَصْفُوفَةٍ وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. They will be reclining upon orderly couches. And we will wed them to these fair maidens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. Some from here, some from here. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَةٍ مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Again, surur. First it was sururin masfufa in Surah Tur. And in this Surah Al-Waqi'ah is sururin mawduna. Masfufa, saf. Something that's placed orderly. And in this one, mawduna. Mawduna is something that is intricately placed together in an adornment style. Mawdun, wadan. Wadan comes, you know, when you have an interlocking armor, chain, interlocking, that's what you call mawdun. So these beautiful couches, they will be interlocking with one another in this beautiful array. Muttaki'ina alayha mutaqabilin. These people will be reclining on their face to face. And then in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah says, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَ. You've got three descriptions of surur, right? Placed in an orderly fashion, placed in an adorned, interlocking design and fashion, and then marfu'a, elevated. So they are very distinctive, distinguished. Everybody can see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Atta relates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that what this refers to is that these are sururum min dhahab. These are couches or thrones made out of gold, mukallala bil zabarjad wal dur wal yaqut, but studded with your sapphire, your emeralds, and your rubies. Wasariru mithla ma bayna Makkah wa Aida. And it's going to be large, it's going to be huge. Between Makkah and Ayla, that's its distance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, you know, here we've got three mentions of surur, of things you recline on, right? Couches you recline on. Then Allah mentions something else. He mentions, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Araik, that's another word in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah uses all of these different words. Now, what is al-ara'ik? Ara'ik is the plural of arika. Arika. Now, please don't use that as a name for somebody. Hey, that sounds like a good name. Right. SubhanAllah, you know, you get these questions from people. You know, we've got this name, Amelia. Like, what does that mean? It's not an Arabic word. What language is it? Oh, we don't know. It just sounds nice. I think it's from Ethiopian. You know, SubhanAllah, people just come up with these things. Arika is essentially, arika is a raised couch inside a curtained canopy, a tent, a pavilion or a chamber. So it's this special thing which you would put a bride on, right? Covered. So it's a nice kind of seating. It has to have a canopy on top. It has to have a canopy, otherwise without that it's not an arika. An arika is لا يكون أريكة حتى يكون السرير في الحجلة. حجلة is this canopy, curtain canopy. So until the couch or throne or seating is not in a canopied chamber, it can't be called an arika. So that's what people in Jannah will be. Will also have these special seating places like that. That's مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. That's another form of sitting. So come on man, we need to make some brochures for this. Right? This is, you get an arika, and then it also comes with a sarir, surrim masfufa, and surrim mawduna. SubhanAllah. Maybe we can't put it into pictures, but maybe we can make a brochure of, a new house brochure, of this is the kind of furniture you'll have in the house. The surur. Okay, let's move on to the next chapter. I mean, you don't want to be bored in there, do you? So now, they're going to have servants in there. You're going to have servants in there. Totally private. They won't sell your secrets to the news of the world, or to the mail, or whatever it is. These are going to be really... Al-Bab al-Thani wal-Khamsoon, chapter 52. Khadamihim wa ghilmanihim. These are the young boys, the servants, for... the people of paradise. Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. Then Allah says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقٍ. So in two places you have this mention of these young servants that will constantly be moving around and will be serving you. So he says, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. Describes them as مُخَلَّدُونَ. مُخَلَّدُونَ, there's a difference of opinion as to what exactly means, because one meaning of خُلْد is to be permanent, to remain there forever. That's one meaning. Another meaning of مُخَلَّدُونَ is adorned. So one group says that مُخَلَّدُونَ means مُقَرَّتُونَ مُسَوَّرُونَ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ الْقِرَطَ. They will be laden with adornments. Now, it's absolutely possible that it's both of these things, right? That they are both adorned, because, I mean, if you go to any place, as we're used to, then they have a dress code, they have a uniform, they have a certain uniform, because that's what it is. It's not some random garments they allow them to wear. That just makes it seem much more consistent and beautiful, right? So likewise in Jannah, they will have this, they will be beautiful like that, they will be adorned, and they will be there forever, because Jannah is there forever anyway. So it completely makes sense. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ, when you see them, حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا, you will think that these are just scattered pearls. So basically the idea is that they're not all going to be congregated in one area, and if you look elsewhere, they're not there. They are all over the place, just scattered all around, makes it more beautiful. When you have, for example, on a garment, just something concentrated in one area, then you have to look at that particular area. But when you've got something scattered all over the place, you know these expensive women's wedding suits that they have, the whole point of it is that it's studded all over the place. So, لُؤْلُؤًا manthura, spread out and scattered pearls. And then in the other verse in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, يَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. Again, same thing, they will be served by these everlasting youth, بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقٍ. In their hands will be these goblets and other vessels by which they will come to serve you. So these are as you want. They don't take a holiday, they're for you. Those who say that this can't mean forever, because everybody in paradise is forever, so why would this be something so great about them? So it must mean that they are adorned. But as I mentioned, both of those meanings work. Now, the other benefit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing them as being scattered, spread out pearls, firstly, that they're not going to be standing around wasting their time. They are here and there doing something. They're not just waiting on the side like bored people. They are doing something around. They're not mu'attaleen. They are working. And number two, it's much better that you see them all around, because it gives you that sense of comfort and other benefits. Now the other question that arises is that who are these? We've understood who the hur is. The hur is a special creation of Jannah, right? The al-hurul ain is a special creation of Jannah. But when it comes to these wildan, these young servants, what are they? Are they from this world, or are they a new creation like al-hurul ain? So there's again number of opinions here. Some say Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hassan al-Basri rahimahumullah, their opinion is that these are actually the children of Muslims who die when young. They don't have any good deeds or bad deeds, so they're not going into Jannah like on their own, and they're not going into Jahannam on, you know, for to be punished. They will then become khadims of the people of Jannah. They will become servants of the people of Jannah. One of their reasons is that there is no birth taking place in Jannah. So if these are, you know, young servants, they can't have been born in paradise as such, like birth, because there's no birth in paradise. There's no procreation in paradise. That's interesting, isn't it? There's no procreation in paradise. There is obviously sexual intimacy and love and everything else, but there's no procreation from that. You don't have to worry about that. Well, there's actually some people who hold this opinion, they say that these are actually the children of the mushrikeen who pass away, not the children of the Muslimin. Children of the mushrikeen, children of polytheists. When they die, they go to Jannah and they become servants. They have a narration as well, which is related from Anas radiallahu anhu, that I asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I asked my Lord, about these people from who are children who die, that he not punish them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me them, and they will be now servants of the people of Jannah. They will be the servants of the people of Jannah. So these children who die. However, this narration is considered to be weak. This narration is considered to be weak, and it's not very strong. The other opinion is that no, these are special creation for Jannah. These are not humans from humans. These are like humanoids, if you can think of that term, if we take the world aspect, because they're born in the hereafter. هم غلمان أنشأهم الله في الجنة إن شاء كما أنشأ الحور العين. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Al-Hur Al-Een for paradise, likewise he will create all of these servants for paradise. So then what happens to the children then? Now, just to let you know about what happens to children who die, there are about 10 opinions. Right? Some say that they will be turned to dust. Some say they will be tested. Some say that they will go to Jannah. Some say they will be on A'raf between Jannah and Jahannam. There's all of these opinions because there's no solid definitive narration that tells you exactly what's going to happen. But the strongest opinion I would say is that if it's awladul muslimin, they will go to Jannah. That is the strongest opinion. Now, those who say that this is a special creation, their response to the children who die in this world, what happens to them? They say that the children of this world, on the day of judgment, they're not going to be children anymore, just like old people. Like that old woman who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to her that you're not going to go to Jannah, meaning in the way you are, you're going to be young. Everybody's going to be 33 years of age, as I mentioned, as we discussed earlier in a previous chapter. So even the children, there's a narration about that from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata min ahli al-jannati min saghirin aw kabirin." Anybody who's destined for Jannah, for paradise, whether they die young or old, yuradduna banu thalathi wa thalathina sana. They will be made to be 33 years of age in Jannah. That is like the optimal age to enjoy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that place for enjoyment. 33 years of age in Jannah. La yaziduna alayha abadan. You will never become old. You will never go over 33. Wa kadharika ahlun nar. But likewise also the people of hellfire, they will never go beyond that age. Rawahu Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi has related this. So that's why these young servants in paradise, they are specially created for paradise, just like the Hur al-Een were. Allah says, وَيَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ غِلْمَانُ لَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونَ. These aren't their own children. Because if these are your own children, then why would you make them work for you? Why would they be working for you? Your own children will have their own Jannah. They'll be equal to you, having their own Jannah. That's why I said nobody stays with their parents in paradise. Everybody stays with their wife, with their husband. Nobody stays with their parents because you yourself are independent in paradise. Otherwise, if everybody stayed with their parents, we'd be all the way in one Jannah to Adam alayhi salam. All big happy family. Well, it will be kind of a happy family anyway, but everybody will be independent. There's another narration, Anas radiallahu anhu relates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا أَوَّلُ النَّاسِ خُرُوجًا إِذَا بُعِثُوا. The day everybody will be resurrected, I'm the first one who will come out to appear. وَفِيهِ يَطُوفُ عَلَيَّ أَلْفُ خَادِمٍ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونَ. And he says, on that day, he says that there will be 1,000 khadim, 1,000 servants. He will get 1,000 servants, right? Who will come and serve me. They are like concealed pearls. They would be like concealed pearls. Meaning, they've untouched. They are for me only, to serve me only. So inshallah, that's where we stop today. The next chapter for next week is inshallah, what the men will get in terms of their women and their concubines. That discussion has to come. There's been so much about it in the media. And their beauty, their characteristics, and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them. So next week is a very hot dars. Right? Wallahu alam. Let's see. InshaAllah. At least for the men.